also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Verse 5.
Okay. Well, that may be, well, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. Then I look upon all your commandments.
All right. I will praise thee with an upright heart when I learn thy righteous ordinances. I will observe thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly.
Keep going.
Keep going.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. O let me not wander from your commandments.
Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches.
15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Deal bountifully with the servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law.
I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times.
Thou hast revoked the proud that are cursed with due error from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimony.
Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And what we've done is read just only 3 out of 22 8 verses apiece. The Psalm 119 is made up of the alphabet of the Hebrew language. So it's hard to see in English, but when you look at the first 8 verses, you will see it starts, every verse will start with Alf. Now, Alf is their numbering system is also their alphabet. So Alf would be 1. Bet would be 2. Gimel would be 3. And it would go on. And we're going to cover a little bit of that each time. We're not going to cover all the verses tonight in one look-see. But the letter Aleph is, again, is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And again, if you were reading it in Hebrew, you would see it begins, the first 8 verses begin with it, or Aleph. Also, in numerology, if you took the whole Bible, actually, because the Greek alphabet is also their numbering system. So if you took every sentence in the Bible and divide it by 7, it would come out even. If you, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's all going to come out even. Now, what are the coincidences of that? That by chance that would happen? I don't think a testimony. And so if you have a little cheat sheet, then it's kind of nice to go back and say, okay, I can understand what the good Lord is trying to show me here. One of the words that are not on that 10 list is blessed. If you look at verse 1 of Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And you will find that already some of these terminologies or definitions, you might like to know what that's all about. But when you look at verse 1 and 2, and blessed, by the way, under the King James, out of the 176 verses, is only mentioned 3 times. So you see blessed, but they're not all the same. The first two are, verse 1 and verse 2, it means happy or happiness. But then you get to verse 12, and that has a different Hebrew word, and it means to kneel. It's more of an adoration. And it's kind of interesting to bless God as an act of adoration. And so we're going to see as we go through this psalm in these different verses some of the practical applications we can use today in our growth, our spiritual understanding and our spiritual growth. So we start gives you the areas where you're going to be blessed. So he starts off with a positive, then goes right into a negative, and then he comes back to a positive. And you see that word blessed there is the same word that is starts off Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed. That is your happy or happiness that is going on if you do these things. And if you know there's a progression there in Psalm 1:1, where it talks about you not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And you'll find that that's a progression that if you walk with them, you'll eventually stand with them, and then you will actually sit down and be a scorner just like the evil ones. If you read Ephesians chapter, the book of Ephesians, you will find it's a reverse order. You sit before the Lord. You still take a stand where you have to take a stand, and then you walk and become entrusted with the gospel of Christ. So it's an opposite way. But then you look at going back to Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Any thoughts on that? What does it mean that his delight is in the law of the Lord? Delight is in the Lord, the law of the Lord. Also, if you'll notice, and this is another reason the King James Version, and I'm not trying to use any version you want, I'm just saying why I use this particular thing. All capitals, L-O-R-D, and Lord on the first, on the second verse, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that's the Redeemer, Jehovah, the one who redeems. And every time you see that in capitals, you can automatically look and say, what is he redeeming? Right away, he looks at us as people that need to be redeemed. And you're blessed, but you have to separate yourself from the things of the world. How many delight themselves in the law of the Lord? And what does that mean to you?
The law is the commandment, right?
Okay.
So they're trying to do best to keep the commandment, but it's impossible.
So should we be rigid people?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be so rigid, but do we compromise our position?
Yes.
Yes.
Should we compromise our position?
No.
No, but we do. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
We do compromise it. But we shouldn't compromise it. People should see the Christ in you and I. And we trust that they do. So the third one is in verse 3 of Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he prosper. And you look at that. Have you noticed something very special about that particular verse? If we're going to be a tree planted, notice something about that planting?
The root.
What?
The
root.
The root? Of the tree. There's water.
Planted by
the water.
Holy Spirit.
Is it by water?
By the rivers of water.
By the river, it's plural.
Yeah.
One river dries up, you got another river. The more you continue to stay in the Word of God, the more you will grow. And even if you're having a bad time, a depressive day, that may be a thought of a river drying up, but if you look to see and behold the beauty of God, it continues. You will still grow, but you got to focus on the law of the Lord. You got to focus on pleasing him, blessing him, and that's where we're going to be eventually going, how to bless him and what to do with him as far as walking in the word of the Lord. Psalm 128, verse 1, Tom. flows from the Lamb of God. But it doesn't pluralize the word tree. It's the tree of life, the one that most likely was in the garden. And it was replanted. And the root system, and Joyce, you mentioned the word root. The root system is going under and feeding, so the one tree is putting the tree of life on both sides of the crystal sea. I find these things very fascinating because this all stems back to how we take in the Word of God, how we not only take in the Word of God, but that, how obedient are we to the Word of God. So this is where it gets a little challenging. In the first verse, it says, who walk, oh, in then, as time goes on, as you meditate and you work on that and you deal with that, it's not that hard anymore. It becomes easier and easier, but you got to stay on that narrow path. Once you step off the narrow path, you're free game for anybody and everybody. And Christians too. Will, if they're off the path, they'll hit you too. The law brings us to Christ that we may be justified through faith and by its knowledge of sin. Without the law, there was no sin. Adam had one law, right?
Yeah.
Or did he have two? Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's one law, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the other law? You can eat of any of the other trees, but not that one. And he specified two trees. Do you imagine if Adam ate the tree of life first? We don't know if he ever even touched it. We don't think he did. Any thoughts on verse 1 of Psalm 119? Verse 2. No thoughts? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And if you look at your little handout, what's a testimony? So I put it in there, I didn't put the testimony. But a testimony of God is a witness. Witness. Can you tell me some of the witnesses of God?
Isn't a testimony some relationship to your walk?
It can be I'm talking about God's testimony.
Oh.
But yes, you're right, Marty. It's a testimony of your walk. Somebody knows you when you first became a Christian, doesn't bother you for 20 years, and then comes up, they should see a tremendous growth. And you have a new testimony. But what's one of the testimonies of the Lord, of God himself?
Holy Spirit.
What?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, you know, that's quite a testimony because he's in you, right? And he's going to change your life. But one of the things I was thinking of is the Ark of the Covenant. That's a testimony. It tells you a little story about the Redeemer. The one who comes. The Ten Commandments, the two stone tablets, that's a testimony. Aaron's rod that budded, that's in the Ark of the Covenant, that's a testimony. The manna that fell from heaven when they witnessed and they were walking through and they wanted some type of food, and so bread from heaven. That's a testimony. All these little things that can present Jesus Christ, present God the Savior to each and every one is a testimony. It's a witness of who God is. And he has placed them throughout the scriptures. But have you ever thought about that as a testimony? It's kind of different. But I didn't get to type it out yet. So that's why I was looking for it myself. the storge, or actually storge, and that's a love that is like an old shoe. You know, Phyllis and I are in the same room, we don't have to talk. She loves me, I love her, and it's like we're two old shoes. But then you got the phileo, the brotherly love. And that's what the world knows, the brotherly love. And that can be broken very quickly. But then the new love,
chapter eight.
Chapter eight.
Chapter nine, chapter eight.
Well, we'll pick it up from the end next